Welcome to our Beit Midrash in Yerushalayim for the 38th annual Hausman Stern Kinos Tshuva Lecture, established by Judy and Gerson Hausman to honor the memory of their parents, Elias J. and Mary Stern, and Moshe and Chava Hausman. It is a deep pleasure and a great honor to be able to welcome to our Beit Midrash in Yerushalayim someone who lives and embodies the values of Yeshiva University, our president, Rabbi Dr. Ari Berman.
Bershus, Rabbi Yomori, our Rosh Kollel, Rabbi David Miller, our Sgan Rosh Kollel, my dear friend, Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Asaf Bednarsh, one of our precious dear Rebbeim, also my dear friend, Rabbi Chaim Eisenstein, all of the Rabbanim who are here with us. Of course, we're pleased to welcome all of the honored guests who are here with us, the honored guests that are joining us live stream, and honored guests that are joining us in person. And it's my pleasure to acknowledge the presence of a dear friend and supporter, Mr. Emil Fish, who is here with us. Just an honor to be here with you during these days. To be with our students and the Gros Kollel, always wonderful to learn with our students in the Smicha program. For the first time ever, I can say our students in our Torah Tzion program, our new Torah Tzion program, so wonderful to welcome you here in Israel, live in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. We couldn't do anything in Israel on this campus without our incredible director, Stephanie Strauss, who is with us, and I should say Assistant Vice President Stephanie Strauss, who is with us, and of course, the Menahel of Torah Shraga, also a dear friend, Rabbi Michael Olshin, and all the Torah Shraga guys, Okay, that is, it's just wonderful to be here, to be here with you, my dear friends. I want to open with a message that I learned from my great-grandfather and namesake, Aryeh Leib Hamburg. Now, I never met my great-grandfather. He was killed by the Nazis along with most of my family on that side when the Germans entered Lithuania. My great-grandfather lived in a small shtetl called Duxt. I remember when I was a little boy, I would go visit my grandmother at her house. She lived a couple blocks away from mine. And I asked her about where she grew up, about Duxt. And she said, okay, hold up your thumb. She said, that was about the size of the shtetl. It was a small town. Everyone was were friends. The whole place was a sense of deep family. But sadly, when the Nazis entered, most of the Jews in the area were murdered. Right before the Nazis entered, they were first occupied by the Red Army and then the Lithuanian Army. My grandmother, right before the occupation, left to Kovno and took the last boat out of Europe at the time with her two sons, Meyer and Julius. People know my Uncle Meyer. They know my Uncle Julius, Yudel, at the time. And they left Europe with my grandmother, who joined my grandfather, her husband, Henoch, who's already in the United States in Hartford, Connecticut. Now, my family has the actual letters that my great-grandfather, Aryeh Leib Hamburg, wrote from Russia and then eventually Nazi-occupied Lithuania, wrote to my grandmother in America during the occupation. Now, keep in mind that when writing these letters, my great-grandfather most assuredly knew that he had no future. He was older already. The war was waging all around him. And this is what my great-grandfather wrote. Tamu ur'u. Kitov Hashem. Ashrei HaGever Yechasubo. Taste and see how great is God. Fortunate is the one who puts his trust in God. Sarla, he wrote to my grandmother, you would not believe the terrible state of our little Jewish town. Jews in such difficult conditions, even forced to violate the Shabbat. But Tamuru, Kitov Hashem, I am so happy. I feel so blessed because you are not here. Because my grandchildren are safe in America. Please make sure that Meyer and Yudel are studying and reading Torah regularly, growing up as B'nai Torah, Ashrei HaGever, Yechasubo. This is the last message my grandmother received from her father. I think of this message here today because I believe that my great-grandfather's words, that in those words lies the secret power of Yom Kippur. Allow me to explain. We all know that Yom Kippur is a day of tshuva and a day of forgiveness. But what do we do in order to gain that forgiveness? What are we supposed to do on Yom Kippur? What does tshuva mean? So if you look at your source sheets, you'll see in source number 2, the Mishnah in Yoma, which speaks about the effect of Yom Kippur. Averot sheben adam l'chavero, ein Yom Kippur mechaper, ad sheirate et chavero. And zo darash Rav Elazar ben Azaria, mikol chatotechem lefnei Hashem titaru, ein Yom Kippur mechaper, ad sheirate et chavero. The Mishnah begins by talking about mechaper, kapara, atonement. First, it speaks about atonement for sins, ben adam l'makom, then atonement of sins, ben adam l'chaver. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, Ashrechem Yisrael, lifnei mi atem mitarim, umi mitar etchem. Fortunate are you, Yisrael, before whom do you become pure, and who purifies you? Avichem shabashamayim, your father in heaven. Shenamar, as it says, Bezerakti lechem mayim tahor mutartem, I sprinkle on you the pure waters to purify you. Va'omer, as it says, Mikva Yisrael Hashem. Understood by Rabbi Akiva that Hashem is a mikva, a purifying mikva, a body of water. Ma mikva mataris atmeim, afa kadosh baruch hu mataris Yisrael, just like a mikva purifies those that are tame, that are impure, so Hashem purifies those, purifies Yisrael. Now you'll notice in the Mishnah that there are two words, different words used to describe the effect of what happens on Yom Kippur. What are the two words? Kapara and Tara. Kapara and Tara. Now it's not a coincidence that the Mishnah uses these two words. In fact, on the Ikar, the essential pasuk that deals with the forgiveness of Yom Kippur, that we'll recite a number of times over Yom Kippur. If you look at source number 3, Ki biyom hazeh yichaper aleichem letaher eschem mikol chatosechem lifnei Hashem titaru. These two words show up in the essential pasuk, because on this day it will atone for you to purify you from all your sins, ending very importantly before Hashem, you will be purified. So there are two different words. There's kapara and there's tahara. What is the difference between kapara and tahara? So Rabbi Soloveitchik, along with a number of other thinkers, has developed a theme of the difference between the kapara of Yom Kippur and the Tara of Yom Kippur. And I will borrow liberally from his thought with some slight additions. So let's start with Kapara. What does it mean, Ki b'yom hazeh yichaper aleichem? What does it mean, lichaper? So if you look at source number 4, Rabbi Soloveitchik writes that Kapara means forgiveness or withdrawal of claim. This is a legal concept. borrowed from the laws of property. Just as one may release his fellow man of a debt owed to him, so may God absolve one of the penalty to which he is liable due to sin. Kapara removes the need for punishment. What the Rav is pointing out is that in the Torah and in Halacha, sin leads to, the natural consequence of sin is some punishment. And what Kapara does, atonement, is it protects you from punishment. And the number of examples where this comes up, I quoted one in source number 5, that after the Navi, Natan, comes to David and speaks to him about his sin and tells him that he's going to be punished because of his sin, because of his sin with Bathsheba. So David responds, if you look at the bold, Vayomer David al Natan, Chatasi la Hashem. I sinned before God. So what does David do when he says Chatasi la Hashem? In effect, he does tshuva with vidui. He does tshuva and a vidui. Chatasi la Hashem. And what is the immediate reaction of Natan HaNavi after he does tshuva? Vayomar Natan al David, Gam Hashem hevir chatascha lo tamus. God will remove your, will pass over your sin, and you won't die. Meaning, there's kapara, there's atonement. You have done tshuva, you will get atonement. You will be protected from that most severe punishment. If you look, for example, again in source number 6, when Yaakov is coming to Esav, and he's worried that Esav is going to return after Yaakov surreptitiously dressed as Esav and took the brachos from Esav, that Esav was upset and was going to punish Yaakov. What does Yaakov do? Yaakov sends gifts to Esav. And he says that you should say to him, Kiyamar achapra panav bamincha. Achapra, the language, the chaper. What is Yaakov looking for? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi explains, perhaps abatel ragzo. I will nullify, I'll remove Esav's anger. Benir be'enai, Rashi says, shekol kapara she'etz lavon v'chet ve'etz opanim kulan l'shon kinuach v'avarahin. It removes the sin in the sense that you don't, the punishment that naturally emerges from sin won't apply. How does one achieve kapara on Yom Kippur? What does one do to achieve kapara on Yom Kippur? So if you look at source number 8, what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, so what you do is the Rambam starts Hilchos Tshuva with what mitzvah? What does he start with? With vidui, you confess. When you sin, you do tshuva, you repent. Okay, and look at the language in Halacha Aleph. Ein mitchaper lehen bekarbanam, ad shiasa tshuva v'yatvodu vidui dvarim. Or lower down in the Halacha, eino mitchaper ad shiasfadeh v'yashuv ma'asod kezel olam. What is this a language of? All this is kapara, is atonement. You do vidui, you do tshuva, you get kapara. What else do you do to get kapara on Yom Kippur? What else happens that we do on Yom Kippur in order to get kapara? What else do we do? All of the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash, if you look at Halacha Bet, Sira Mishtaleach, Lefishu Kapara al Kol Yisrael, Kohen Gadol Mitzvadah Alav al Hashon Kol Yisrael, the Sira Mishtaleach, the goat that is sent out, that is for kapara, for all Am Yisrael. In fact, the Rambam writes that you can even get kapara. Normally you need tshuva with the seir, but if you didn't do tshuva, the seir could still be machaper on the kalot, on the lighter aveirot. So what you have over here is this concept of kapara, of atonement. It's done through the rituals, the karbanot that we see on Yom Kippur. It's done through tshuva. It's done through vidui. All of this is about kapara, is protecting one from the punishment that naturally emerges from sin. That's kapara. What is tahara? What does it mean, litaher? What does that mean? So we need to understand that in Jewish halachic literature, there are two great consequences of sin. The first is punishment. The second is distance from God. If you look, for example, at source number 9, Yeshayo, Pasuk says, Ki im avonoseichem hayu mavdilim beinechem lebein Elokechem. That your sins have caused a gap, a separation, a distance between you and God. V'chatoseichem histiru panim mikem. And due to your sins, it feels like God is hiding his face from you and not listening. There's a sense of a distance, a distancing from God. And that is very difficult when one feels distant from God. If you look at source number 10, Rabbi Soloveitchik writes about this in a number of places. I quoted one in Ala Tshuva. If you look by the bold, feeling remote from God, the Rav writes, is a terrible experience. What do you think of what is now happening in Russia? I spoke, and this is, of course, during the Iron Curtain. I spoke with a number of Jewish intellectuals who came from there, and I learned that it's a mistake to think that in Russia, the awakening of a national movement is unconnected with religion. A Russian physicist whom I met told me that the phenomenon which we're witnessing in the Soviet Union is actually not limited to Jews alone. Gentiles, too, are feeling a progressive asphyxiation there due to a lack of religious faith, as they are suspended in a limbo of godlessness from which there is no room for belief in the internality of the soul. Man is seen as nothing but a mechanical cog, here one day and gone the next. It is very hard to live feeling distant from God. And just the opposite. When one is going through difficult times, the greatest sense of comfort and support is the feeling of that Hashem is with you. I remember during the dark days of COVID, when everyone was alone in their rooms, isolated, separately living in their houses, the message that was perhaps most comforting to those that we sent out, that people were responding to, was that when we pray in a time of tzara, in a time of difficulty, we don't just pray that God take us out of this tzara. We pray for God to come into the tzara. It's not God taking us out. It's bringing Hashem in. You know, I remember once I read a story Rabbi Jonathan Sachs wrote about Sukkos. He said that he wasn't just a skilled carpenter, and every year on Sukkos he built a sukkah. It was like a frail little hut that wasn't so decorous and so beautiful. I remember a couple of blocks from his house, there was a master carpenter, and he built like this amazing sukkah, beautiful, just carved and incredible. That night, he tells a story about one year. On the first night of Sukkos, there was a storm. And they all came out after the end of the storm the next day. And the carpenter, the master carpenter, his beautiful sukkah he built, he saw that the sukkah was destroyed. And then they went to look at Jonathan Sachs' sukkah, Rabbi Sachs, and Rabbi Sachs' sukkah was still intact. And he said, how could that be? How could my sukkah have withstood that storm? And upon investigation, they realized that the difference is that the sukkah of the master carpenter was freestanding. What Rabbi Sachs did is that he put an attachment from the sukkah and nailed it to the house, into something permanent. And he said that is the lesson of how to withstand storms. Is that when you attach yourself to the one thing that is permanent, which of course is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when you attach yourself to eternity. When Hashem is with you in the tzara, then you can withstand the storm. The Rav writes, if you look at the top of source number 10, believe me when I tell you that I myself could never have endured the past years. This is time when the Rav wrote this. His father just passed away, and then his wife just passed away. His wife just passed away, his most precious relationships. Believe me when I tell you that I myself could never have endured the past years had I not felt the close proximity of God. I am not a Kabbalist nor a mystic. So when I speak about the nearness of God, it's something I feel when opening the pages of the Talmud in order to study. When I am thus immersed in study, I feel as if the Almighty is there standing behind me, putting his hand on my shoulder, looking with me at the text lying on the table and asking me about it. This is not something I imagine. For me, this is true. It's a life experience. When you go through difficult times and you ask Hashem not just to take you out, but to come in to the tzara, to be present with you. And the flip side is also true. It's not just to withstand tempests, but also the greatest joy. V'samachtem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. What is the greatest joy? Is when you feel that you're with Hashem. You feel His supporting, loving presence accompanying you through your life. I remember at every one of the B'nai Mitzvah of my children, every one of them, I gave them the same bracha. I gave them the bracha that they should feel Hashem with you throughout every moment of your life. That is the greatest bracha I said to them, that I could give them, that they feel Hashem with them throughout their life. And this gets to what tahara is. Kapara, atonement, is you go sin by sin and do tshuva for each sin, and each sin you get protection from the punishment. But tahara is something even greater. It's when you felt distant from God, but suddenly you now feel close to God. You know, there are two images of Hashem that come up consistently all throughout these days and also throughout the year, but especially these days, and that is Avinu and Malkeinu. The Melech, the king, and the father, the parent. The Melech has the power to punish, but he removes it. He does kapara. He atones. He protects you from punishment. The father is about love and drawing you closer. You see this back in the Mishnah Yoma. Go back to the first Mishnah. Go back to the Mishnah in source number 2. What does Rabbi Akiva say when he introduces the power of being mitaher, of this atonement, of this forgiveness of tahara? What does he say? Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael. How fortunate are you, Yisrael? Lifnei mi atem mitarin, umi mitar etchem avichem shabashamayim. It's your father who's in heaven. Now this is a very important line in the history of the Jewish people. In the history of the Jewish people, Rabbi Soloveitchik says. When did Rabbi Akiva live? Rabbi Akiva lived through the Chorban. And Rabbi Soloveitchik suggests that what was happening at this time is that B'nai Yisrael didn't know what Yom Kippur was going to be like, what their lives were going to be like without the Beis HaMikdash. Think about it. Yom Kippur is all about the avoda, the service, in the Beis HaMikdash. Just this morning, I visited the Machon HaMikdash, and you see the Kelim, and all the whole way that the Avoda, the Kelim of the Mikdash, and your mind's eye, you could imagine what Yom Kippur was like. And all of these Kelim, these were the instruments to bring Kapara, to bring atonement. But then the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. All of your instruments are gone. What is going to happen to us? It's there that the great Rabbi Akiva says, Ashreichem Yisrael! Don't worry, Yisrael. There's a whole other way. It's not the way of kapara, although there's a way of getting kapara too. Tshuva will bring you kapara even after the Beis HaMikdash. But keep in mind that the way of Tara never changed. That even though the king, Kiviyachol, might have lost his palace, the father is still close to you. The Eim HaShechina, the surrounding mother, the loving parent, is still with you and embraces you. And Tara, in the sense, is very different than Kapara. Kapara, you go sin by sin, you do tshuva. Al chet, you think about each specific sin, you do tshuva for it, to try to avoid and cleanse the punishment so you don't get punished. The effects are not always immediate when it comes to kapara. Like when you owe a payment, as the Rav compares, sometimes there's partial payment. Sometimes it takes longer to pay back what you're liable for. It's a famous Gemara in source number 11, where there are different levels of tshuva, and the Gemara talks about, and the Rambam records this in Perek Aleph when he speaks about kapara, this idea of different sins requiring different amounts of time until the liability is completely lifted. It could take time. It could take years. It could take a lifetime. When it comes to the tshuva of Tara, it's very different. If you look at source number 12, the Rambam writes, in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Zayin, in Perek Aleph, the Rambam talks about the tshuva of Kapara, but in Perek Zayin, the Rambam talks about the tshuva of Tara. And Hilchos Tshuva is broken up very carefully, maybe for another tshuva drasha. But in Aleph, you're talking about kapara. In Zayin, you're talking about the tshuva of Tara. Gedola tshuva, the Rambam writes, Shemekarevet es ha'adam l'shechina. How great is tshuva that it brings a person so close to the Shechina? Shenamar tshuva Yisrael, ad Hashem Elokecha, return Israel until Hashem, your God. Kolomer im tachzor b'tshuva, bi tidvak. If you return in tshuva, in me, Hashem says, you cling. Tveikut b'Hashem. Hatshuva mekarevet et arechokim. Tshuva brings closer those who are different, a distance. Emesh, hayezeh sanoi lifnei amakom. Emesh, the Rav translates as yester eve. Not 24 hours, even closer than 24 hours. Yester-eve, you felt that you were distant from God. Perhaps you felt even hated by God. But hayom, but today, hu ahuv v'nechmad karov v'yedid. Today, you feel close to Hashem. You feel purified. That's the tshuva of Tara. When it comes to kapara, the Melech, he can help you wipe away the punishment. One by one, there could be a process. There could be karbanot. There could be rituals. Sometimes they have a partial effect. Sometimes it takes years or years. But the tshuva of Tara is about closeness with God. And when you have this dvekut, this clinging to Hashem, sins naturally fall away. There's a transformation of character. Tshuva happens by itself. There's no need for punishment. You're feeling close to Hashem. Your desire to do good increases. Your priorities become clear. This is essential to the heart of everything that Yom Kippur is about. If you look at source number 13, it's a source that I learned from my daughter, from the Slonimer Rebbe, Nesiva Shalom. My wonderful daughter introduced me to a number of different new sources for me. And it's a great story that he writes to encapsulate what is Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, what are these days about? And he writes, I'll just summarize, that the king sends his son out into a foreign city, a city with many enemies. And the king sends messages to his son all throughout the year. But the enemies intercept the messages. Sometimes they reach the son, but they're garbled and confused. And the son doesn't get the messages so clearly, or he doesn't get them at all. But there's one time a year where the king goes out to meet his son. There is one time a year. And yes, he's a king, he's a melech. But that's not the point. The point is he's going to meet his son. That he's a parent. That he's a father. And that one time a year, the son has a direct kesher, has a direct connection with the father. That time of year, the child is directly connected to the parent. And there's messages that are clear. He talks about the shofar. He talks about the Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There's a time where it's just you and Hashem. You and your loving Avinu Shabashamayim, the Ema Shechina. You know, I mentioned in a Torah to go that a thought in this past Torah to go, a thought that I heard in the name of Rebbe Umori of Aaron Lichtenstein. How do we miss? How much can we miss? How much do I miss? Rav Lichtenstein. And Rav Lichtenstein writes that there's a difference between tshuva during the year and tshuva on Yom Kippur. That tshuva during the year is a tshuva of where you fell short. You had aspirations, you had goals, and where you made mistakes along the way. That's tshuva during the year. But tshuva of Yom Kippur is not a tshuva where you felt short of your dreams, but it's a tshuva on the dreams themselves. What are your goals? What are your aspirations? What are you trying to achieve in life? And it's no coincidence that this tshuva happens on Yom Kippur when you feel so close to Hashem. Because the right setting to do tshuva on dreams is when one is feeling the embrace of a loving God. Look at the pasuk that Rabbi Akiva quotes. Mikvah Yisrael Hashem. Mikvah Yisrael. Now Rabbi Akiva has a nice interpretation of mikvah to mean the holy purifying waters of mikvah. But actually the pshat of mikvah means something else. What does the word mikvah mean? We sing it in our national anthem here in Israel. It's hope. The hope of Israel is Hashem. The time to think of your dreams, your hopes, your wishes, is when you're standing before Hashem, when you are purified and holy in the right frame of mind, remembering what's important, what is ephemeral, and what, in fact, is eternal. Yom Kippur of Kapara is amazing. And we need it. We need to work on ourselves, sin by sin. We need to become better. We need to grow. We need to become free of the liabilities of the past. It's very liberating and necessary. But Yom Kippur of Tara is something else. It's potentially transformative because you are bathed in love. And let me tell you about a father's love. I'm about to tell you is the true secret, I believe, of Yom Kippur. So you remember that I said that sin creates distance between the sinner and God. But it actually doesn't. It it's only in the minds of the sinner. You see, the parent gives their child rules to protect the child, to help the child. The child might disobey. The child feels bad. The child feels distant from the parent because of the disobedience. This is what Isaiah means, that the sins cause a separation in the child's mind. There's a separation. But from the parent's perspective, their love of their son is as strong as it was before. Think about it for yourself, whoever here, online, in person, are fathers and mothers. Is your love dependent on your child's actions? Is the father's love affected by their child's actions? Is the mother's affection changed? Does the mother accept the child, love the child differently? You always feel the same way. And this is the fundamental truth about Hashem. You know, we recite the Yud Gimel Midos, 13 Midos. We're going to recite it over and over again, over and over again. In Slichos, we've been reciting it. On Yom Kippur, we're going to be reciting it. What are the first two words of the Yud Gimel Midos? Hashem, Hashem. Why is it Hashem twice? It's the same Yud Kei Vav Kei. Hashem, Hashem. So if you look at source number 14, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is such an important Gemara. Hashem, Hashem. Ani hu kodem sheyechta adam. I am Hashem before the person sins. Va'ani hu la'achar sheyechta adam v'yase tshuva. And I am the very same Hashem after the person sins and does tshuva. Kel rachum v'chanun. I am the same Hashem. I'm the same Hashem lefnei achet. I'm the same Hashem achrei achet. God does not change. God's love for his children is constant. It's eternal. It's everlasting. The bracha on Yom Kippur is that you recognize it. You know, I told you that at the B'nai Mitzvah of my children, I told them the most important lesson is to carry the feeling that God is with you throughout your life. I actually changed what I say to them. I say something else to them now. I now tell my children that the most important lesson I could teach you in this world, the most important lesson, is that Hashem loves you no matter what. That is the most important lesson I can teach you in your life. That Hashem loves you no matter what. Now, God has rules. There's a Torah. There's directions of living a good life that God made for you. It's important for you to keep it. For your sake. Not for his sake. It's important for your sake. It's a very important pasuk if you look at source number 15. In Devarim, Va'ata Yisrael, and now Yisrael, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shuol Me'emach. What is it that God asked from you anyway? And it sounds like Moshe is going to say over to Bnei Yisrael that it's so nothing what he's asking you. What's he asking you anyway? Kiyim Liyirat Hashem Elokecha. You have to fear God. Malechet B'chol Drachav, to go in all of his ways. La'ava Oto, to love him. La'avod et Shem Elokecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha, to serve God with all your heart and all your soul. L'shmor et mitzvot Hashem v'et chukosav v'asher anochi mitzavcha hayom, to keep all the mitzvot and chukim that God commands us today. The Gemara asked, is this milsa zutrasi? Is this such a small matter? It sounds like this is pretty hard to do. What does Moshe mean when he says, Va'ata Yisrael, Ma Hashem, Shu'al Mehimach? So the Abarbanel says that the key of the pasuk to understand this is the end of the pasuk. What is the end of the pasuk? L'tovlach. What is Hashem asking anyway? It's not for his sake. It's the tovlach. It's not easy. It's not small. It could be difficult. It could be challenging. It could be hard. But it's for your own good. It's l'tovlach. God doesn't need it. God loves you no matter what. We are all his children. God loves you no matter what. I'll tell you one thing that doesn't give God nachas, though. He doesn't like it when his children are fighting. What parent likes that? Now is not the time to talk about it. But it's, of course, very sad that some of the public discourse about Yeshiva University has framed our internal discussion about inclusivity on campus as part of a national drama pitting two sides of our currently very polarized society. This is clearly not how to work out problems in a family. With mutual love and compassion, I am sure that we will figure out the right way forward. And I am committed, and we are all committed, to doing so. And Yom Kippur gives us a great opportunity to remember that Hashem loves us all. We are all one family, all of Hashem's children. Banim atem l'Hashem Elokecha. And this day is an opportunity to get close to God right now. This lesson of the constant love of a parent to one's children is what I learned from my great-grandfather and namesake, Arya Leib Hamburg. Sitting in Russian and then Nazi-occupied Lithuania, with no future prospects, what does he feel in his soul at this moment? Tamu uru'u, taste and see, kitov Hashem, how great is God, because his daughter and his grandchildren were safe. And he didn't even know what would come from them. The great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren living lives of fullness and growth. So many here in Medinat Yisrael. Tamu uru'u kitov Hashem. How great is God? And as all of us know, that's really what we just care about. We care about our children. All of our children. And that's the goal of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, we're told, is one of the happiest days of the year. Why is it one of the happiest days of the year? It's because we have a chance to be back in God's embrace, to feel that. So in this sense, I have two practical suggestions for this Yom Kippur. And Bezrat Hashem, this is what I will be doing in preparation for Yom Kippur. So I've tried to do. The first is to think about the action one wants to work on. Think about the actions in your life that you want to improve on. Take time before Yom Kippur. Look at the machzer before Yom Kippur. Look at the list of the al-chetz. Hopefully they will not all apply to you. But some of them might. And think about what it is you want to atone for, l'chaper, to achieve kapara, and to improve from them. That is the first thing to do. And it's very important to prepare ahead of time, so that when you get to the al-chetz on Yom Kippur, you're doing so with a consciousness and a premeditative sense. The meaning of that, the vidoy of that on Yom Kippur, will be different if you look at the machzer ahead of time and you think about which ones, which areas of your life do you want to work on. I remember I'll tell you, when I first started doing this, I was sitting right there. When I was in the Gruskolo, I remembered the little notes I started writing to myself about what I wanted to work on during the year. And the plan to then open them up my plan was every Rosh Chodesh, to use the Rosh Chodesh and see how I was doing. You know, I would think about the actions, I'd think about the areas I wanted to focus on, I'd write it down, prepare before Yom Kippur, and then I'd take out the note. I would plan to take out the note during the year and see how I'm doing and measure and rate where I was going. That is one thing. That is the first way to prepare for Yom Kippur. But the second thought is not to stop there. On Yom Kippur, think about your connection to Hashem. And this is not even during the words of tefillah. Pause during the tefillah. Create some mental space. Just pause during the davening. In an area, pause. It's the words that move you, that pause and connect. Breathe Hashem in. Ve'ipach ba'apav. Breathe Him in. Feel God's embrace. Cherish the closeness. I'm saying this to everyone, not just the Talmidim and Talmidot of a particular age. Whatever you are in life, whatever period you are in life, on Yom Kippur, just stop, pause, and feel Hashem's closeness to you. And one will easily know if they are successful. The Nesiv HaShalom writes in the last source that the sign to know if one achieved Tahara on that day is whether one feels God's presence with them. If one feels Hashem, then Tahara was achieved. And this is what I try to do on Yom Kippur. And then carry that into the year. When saying the Amidah, for example, on Sukkot, or afterwards, during one's everyday tefillah, take moments during the year to feel Hashem. Because God is present during the year as well. And if we can achieve that, our whole lives will be different. My bracha to each and every one of you is that as we come to this Yom Kippur, is that we achieve both kapara and tahara, working on individual matters of concern while also developing our relationship with Hashem, that you should feel appreciated and loved, and in turn, make others feel appreciated and loved. May Hashem bless you with only joy, happiness, and meaning in the coming year. But more than that, may you be blessed on Yom Kippur and every day throughout your year by feeling God's comforting presence and unconditional, everlasting love. Shana Tovah.